Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in Sweet Charity.
I know that charity is supposed to begin at home, but it's never easy getting it to begin at the old manse. This is because of Evadne. She's about as charitable as a piranha fish in a prawn cocktail. I've even known that woman haggle in the Oxfam shop. They had a green boiler suit and a matching pair of steel-toed boots that she fancied. But they were asking 75 pence for them, and she wasn't prepared to pay more than 50 pence. It was getting so embarrassing that I had to give her the difference in the end. Still, it did solve her Christmas present problem. However, a great deal of charitable work is done in Stacton. It's controlled by a tiny group of people that we call the Stacton Mafia. It's they who decide what's to be done, and then they see that the rest of us go out and do it. As we were reminded one morning last November, it was shortly after breakfast, and we were sitting in the drawing room having a second cup of tea. Well, I must say, Evadne, that marmalade of Lorna Dirrenforth that we bought at the Bring and Buy is a great improvement on her usual stuff. Do you think she started going to classes?
I don't know. But when I opened the jar, there was a paper gollywog on top.
I meant cookery classes, dear, not origami.
I don't think that marmalade is hers, Hilda.
Really? Then who do you think it is? Certainly isn't Maud's, for she doesn't take the pips out.
Oh, the pips? Last time she didn't even take the oranges out of their net. No, I think Lorna bought that.
Bought it? Oh, Evadne, you don't. That means she must have steamed the label off. Surely she'd never stoop that low. There are rural deans in her family.
Well, I suppose she might have come across a jar without a label and decided to risk it.
Yes, she'd probably stoop that low.
I'll tell you one thing, Hilda. If they ever held a stooping match in Stacton, Lorna Dirrenforth would win it.
Now, that is unfair, Evadne. You make her sound round-shouldered. Mind, I think she is getting a bit that way, you know. I noticed it when we were decorating the church for the Harvest Festival the other week. She could hardly reach the top of her cornucopia.
Well, her cornucopia gets bigger every year. She'll be needing a ladder before long.
Poor old Lorna. We are being naughty about her, aren't we?
Well.
I wonder if her ears are burning. Oh, it's all right, Evadne. I'll get it there. Hello? Stacton 295? Oh, Lorna! Oh, darling, we were just talking about you. No. Saying what a clever little thing you are.
No, cunning, Hilda, not clever.
Evadne. Your marmalade, dear. Yes, we brought some at the Bring and Buy. It is gorgeous.
Tell her we found the gollywog. Be quiet.
Oh, absolutely delicious, dear. Not at all like homemade. Really professional. You wouldn't believe it, you know, Evadne. The silly woman's shaking it all in. She's absolutely lapping it up.
Well, tell her we found the gollywog.
Well, I would if I could think of a suitably subtle way of doing it. Oh, sorry, Lorna. No, just clearing my throat, dear. What was that? No, well, Evadne was nattering away in the background, as usual. Something about a gollywog. How was that, Evadne?
You know, too subtle by half, dear.
Well, certainly, Lorna. I'm sure she'd be only too pleased to make one for you for the Christmas bazaar.
Well, I tell you, you see, subtlety's wasted on that woman. You need a coal hammer, really.
What, Lorna? Let you down, dear. Oh, isn't it so irritating when they do that? Well, of course, dear. Yes. Well, we'd be only too happy to. Oh, how very kind of you to say so. Yeah. Well, that would be lovely. Yes, lovely. Well, bye-bye for now, then. Yes, I will. Bye-bye, Lorna. Bye-bye. That was Lorna, dear. And she sends her enough to you.
I know it was Lorna, dear, and what does she want?
She wants us to go round and have sherry with her one evening.
Why?
Because she hasn't seen us for some time.
And of course she hasn't. We've been avoiding her.
Yes. She doesn't know that, does she?
Well, she should by now. We always avoid at this time of year. You know, I've estimated, between Harvest Festival and Christmas, there are no fewer than 31 separate events she might attempt to rope us into if we didn't.
Well, your chief worry's already over, dear. They've got a guy for bonfire night.
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Anyway, how do you know?
Because I gave them some old clothes for it. Apparently, it's quite difficult getting hold of really shabby clothes these days. So I gave them that old hat and coat of yours. They're the ones that Oxfam wouldn't take.
I do wish you wouldn't keep giving my clothes away. I just have absolutely nothing to wear.
Well, if you're getting that low, dear, you've still got a day or two to retrieve your dress off the bonfire.
Anyway, you needn't think you're dragging me round to Lorna's for sherry. I know that old ploy. She doesn't even offer you a second glass until you've agreed to do something for her.
She's changed her tactics a bit this year, though.
What do you mean?
I've already agreed to do something for her.
Well, then you've scuttled yourself, haven't you? That'll be the last you'll hear about going round for sherry, unless, of course, she wants something else.
Oh, you can be so uncharitable about me. If it wasn't for me, you'd have a very bad reputation in Stacton.
What exactly do you do to help?
Well, I involve you in little acts of charity, like going round selling poppies for Poppy Day.
I've never sold poppies for Poppy Day.
No, but you're going to this year. I've just told Lorna you are. She's been let down, you see, by one of her helpers. And I said we'd step into the breach, so now you know why she sent her love to you.
Well, I've no innate objection to selling poppies.
No, I knew you wouldn't have. You're not half such an old stinker as you like to make out.
But I'm blowed if I'm going out selling them for Lorna.
You won't be doing it for Lorna, dear. You'll be doing it for me.
One more reason for not doing it.
Oh, very, very badly. If you're determined to be a stinker. But I shall have to get someone to come out with me. I'm not going tramping the streets on dark, misty November evenings all on my own.
Now, why don't you get Lorna to go with you? It'll be a new experience for her to do some of the legwork for a change.
Is that it? The reason that Lorna doesn't do the actual collecting herself is that people won't give her money. I don't know why. It must be something to do with her face and manner. So, I shall just have to find somebody else, I suppose. Somebody who's willing to put themselves out a bit and to give up a little time, to brave the autumnal mists, to be supportive of a friend, and a little charitable toward their fellow men and women and things
like that. All right, Hilda, all right. That's quite enough of the Todd slaughter. I know when I'm beaten. I'll come. But I demand one little privilege.
What's that?
I want to rattle the tin.
Oh, is that? I want to do that. You pop the poppy in their buttonhole.
I want to rattle the tin.
I'll tell you what, then. We'll take it in turns. At one house, you pop and I'll rattle. And at the next, you rattle and I'll pop.
Sounds like rather a noisy affair all round. But I warn you, the first time you show the slightest reluctance to hand over the tin, I am peeling off and coming home.
Well, what do you want us to do, then? Make a blood pact?
I just want you to keep your word, Hilda, that's all.
Evadne, have you ever known me to break it?
Yes.
Oh, I do dislike people who hold grudges. And now, perhaps, do you think we might run through our song for the charity concert that the Lady Mayoress wrote us into?
Oh, you know, she's another one we're going to have to stop talking to this time of year.
If you had your way, this would be a quiet time of year, wouldn't it? Now, which of those songs from the Quaker Girl are we going to do?
Well, I think I prefer the Little Grey Bonnet.
I think I prefer Tony from America.
Well, why don't we do both?
Good idea. They're bound to want an encore.
Oh, even if they don't, they'll get one.
Very true. After all, we are giving our services free, so we've got the whip hand. Hmm. Let's try Tony first.
Very well. Ready when you are.
Right now, Belle. Take it away, but do remember to bring it back. I should think that alone will be worth the price of admission to the Mayoress's charity concert.
Well, it should be. The tickets are only 20p.
20p?
Oh, well, I'm a good man not to know.
No, it's all right. Only joking, Hilda. Yeah. They're 50p, actually. Of course, that does include tea and biscuits.
Well, I suppose it is for charity. I wonder how much they'll lose this year. Oh, that'll be more. Now, Evadne, dear, even though we'll be collecting ourselves this year, I still think we should buy our poppies from Maud as usual. You know how important it is to her to collect more money than anybody else.
Very well. Though I consider it quite wrong that people should do these things for their own glory.
Well, if the Royal British Legion doesn't mind, I don't see why you should. And they're very happy with Maud, you know. But if they weren't, they wouldn't have presented her with one of their special poppy brooches last year. Now, would they?
They probably had a load left over.
Oh, you get worse. You really do.
Good morning, Dame Elder.
Doctor.
Morning, Maud, there.
Good morning, Maud.
Incidentally, Maud, the doctor and I were just talking about buying our poppies, dear. Now, you won't forget, will you, to bring us our two and a nice big one for the car bonnet, will you?
Tain't no good asking me, Dame Elder. I ain't poppying this year.
Not poppying, no?
I give it up.
Oh, Maud, you haven't. You've always so enjoyed your poppying. I mean, you've poppied every year for as long as we've been in Stacton, you know, the 50s.
Well, I ain't poppying no more. It was getting too much. I reckon I'd have had to give up years ago had I been born with anyone's fate but me own. As I says to that Laura Durnforth just last evening, you should think yourself jolly lucky, madam, I says, that you've had my feet to lean on all these years.
Well, not everyone's got feet like yours, Maud. If they did have, there wouldn't be room for us all to stand up.
Well, Maud, this must be rather a sad day for you, then. They'll certainly miss you, I know that. And you say you told Lorna last night.
I did.
Which explains why she telephoned me this morning.
Oh, she did she? I thought she might. Wanted you to talk me into changing me mind for her, did she? Well, you'll not. And that's nothing against you, Dame Elder, because I know you could charm a Scotsman out of his kilt.
Thank you, now. I shall take that as a compliment.
I'm not so sure you should, Hilda.
But that Lorna Durnforth has got to learn to do her own dirty work and not to keep spreading it over other people's shoulders. I'll have her down on her bended knees to me by the time I finish. You see if I don't. She'll be begging me to go back. As I says to her last night, we all know as no one's indispensable, madam, I says, but there's some as you just can't do without. And when you comes to tot up the hours I spend and the miles I tramp each year poppying, you'll begin to realize you're never going to find another mug like me.
Shouldn't you tell her, Hilda?
Tell her what now?
Shouldn't you tell her that Lorna has already found another mug?
Exactly. We're in this together, dear. Lorna's found two mugs.
Oh, Dame Elder. You've done something hurtful, haven't you?
Well, I haven't actually done anything yet, dear. But I have put nips that I've told Lorna I'm going to.
Oh, Dame Elder, how could you? You of all people to go stabbing me in the back.
Et tu, Hilda. Be quiet, Evadne. It's no joking matter. Now, Maud, dear, I thought you said you didn't want to do it anymore.
I want to do it, Dame Elder. I've always loved doing it. But I'll spite myself sooner than be took for granted.
What about those poor old feet of yours, then, Maud?
There's nothing wrong with my feet, Doctor. I bet they could walk yours under the table any day.
Now, Maud, do try to keep calm, dear. We're not going to solve anything by filling our table with feet. Now, there must surely be something we can do about this, mustn't there, Evadne?
Now, don't ask me. You got us into this. You can jolly well get us out.
I suppose that Lorna Durnforth's given you the tickets to the Albert Hall and all, Dame Elder.
Tickets to the Albert Hall? I don't know anything whatever about tickets to the Albert Hall.
Then who's got their thieving hands on them, I wonder? I should have them by rights. I'm champion collector. I've been these 5 years past. But every time that lot on the committee gets offered a pair of tickets to the Albert Hall, they snaffles them themselves.
I think I begin to see what this is all about, Hilda. Now, Maud, let me just get this quite clear. You would like to sell poppies again this year, but you refuse to do so unless you get those tickets. Is that fine?
Oh, it most certainly is not, Doctor. I ain't one for holding folk to ransom.
Yeah.
You understand that, don't you, Dame Mildred?
Yes, of course I do, dear. What you're saying is that there is no question of a quid pro quo. However, you would be prepared to listen sympathetically to a suitably worded fee for you to resume your duties, and you would never be so ungracious as to refuse the offer of 2 tickets to the Festival of Remembrance at the Albert Hall should such an offer be made.
That's exactly it, Dame
Mildred. The tickets being accepted as one small recognition of services rendered rather than as an inducement to you to continue rendering them.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
An awkward ACAS.
Well, I tell you what, dear. Why don't you go and make Saul a nice cup of coffee, and while you're doing it, the doctor and I will see what we can do.
Oh, thank you, Dame Mildred. Thank you, Doctor. I'll not be long.
And what exactly do you propose to do now, then, Hilda?
I'm going to ring Lorna, dear. I know how to handle her. You see, with just a modicum of tact and a bit of give and take, this whole affair can be very easily resolved, you'll see.
I can't wait.
Hello? Lorna. Yes, I know, it's Hilda, dear. No, I just wanted to ask a little favor, dear. Well, I wondered if you'd have a little word with Maud for me. She's awfully upset. But a little quiet word from you, and I'm sure she'd be only too happy to go on selling poppers again. What do you mean, over your dead body? Oh, I know she can be a little trying, dear. Yes, yes, and rude. Well, all right, very rude. Lorna, I know exactly how rude and trying she can be. The point is, her heart is in the right place, and she deserves rather more sympathetic treatment than she appears to have been receiving. So I'd like you, as a favor to me, to ask her back. Lorna, if you say, over my dead body once more... All right, then, please yourself. And look, I must say it doesn't surprise me. I reckon that a woman who'd steam the label off a jar of marmalade and snaffle tickets to the Albert Hall must be capable of almost anything. Well, you just work it out for yourself, dear.
Well, you certainly appear to have wrapped her around your little finger, Hilda.
Honestly, that woman's impossible. It's like talking to a stuffed parrot. All she says is, over my dead body. Over my dead body.
Whee.
Whee. Oh, no. Look who's at the garden door.
It's only us.
Oh, good heavens, it's Peter and Mandy Moore.
Just look at them. The thinking man's bisto kids.
And I say they've got collecting tins and trays of poppies. Surely even Lorna can't have replaced us that quickly.
I suppose I shall have to let them in.
Yes.
We come there in cottages, poppies and tins.
And tin cans with slots in that dangle from strings.
Hello.
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 Good morning, my dears. Do come in. I must say, I love your little verse.
Pea suddenly came out with it over breakfast. Didn't you, Pea?
Suddenly come out with it, Dee. I had to work on it.
He wrote the whole thing on a puffed wheat packet. He's ever so clever at that sort of thing.
Oh, no. Fair's fair, Dee. Credit where it's due. Light under bushels and all that sort of thing. You did have a hand in it yourself. Dangle was your idea. I had suspended from strings.
No, P, that was Daisha. Originally you had droop.
Oh.
Drooping from strings.
Well, whatever I had, I know it didn't feel right. Then you...
Yes, creative work's never easy, is it, Yvette? Especially at that exalted level.
Anyway, Dame Hilda, these trays of poppies and these collecting tins are for you and the doctor. Lorna Dirrenport asked us to run them round.
All those? I say, she is expecting us to do well, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised she didn't include a pair of pistols so we could shout stand and deliver.
We think it's jolly sporting of you both to step in at the last minute like this. Don't we, Pea?
Oh, we do, Dee. That we do, yes.
Well, to tell you the truth, dear, I rather think I may have just stepped out again.
Well, I never stepped in anyway. I was dragged.
Oh. Oh, I do hope there's not going to be another upset. Lorna's absolutely furious about Maud letting her down, isn't she, Pete?
Mm, livid, absolutely livid, spitting feathers.
Funny, Hilda, I've never thought of Lorna as being in the least bird-like. And yet you have her behaving like a stuffed parrot and he has her spitting feathers. Don't be flippant, Evadne. And anyway, Lorna's very bird-like. She walks like a kiwi. You see, the truth is, my dears, that Maud feels she's been put upon. She's worked so hard all these years and quite rightly feels entitled to a few words of thanks and a pair of tickets to the Festival of Remembrance. Now, I admit she went about securing these small tokens of appreciation in quite the wrong way. She resigned.
Ah, so she did let Lorna down then?
No, dear, she did not. Lorna let her down. She accepted Maud's resignation.
Ah, so it sounds rather like six of one and half a dozen of the other then, doesn't it, Pete?
Does it, dear? I'm afraid I haven't been counting. I've been wondering what we do with that carload of poppies we're supposed to be distributing if all the other collectors who are friends of Maud's decide not to collect in sympathy.
And in fact, and that is a very real possibility, Mr. Moore, many an old score is settled in the run-up to Armistice Day.
Oh, Evadne, don't be so bitter. Living with you is like living with a mouthful of lemons. Talking of lemons, perhaps I should have a word with the Lady Mayoress. After all, we're doing her concert for her, so she owes us a favour. Well, me anyway. Perhaps she'd have a word with Lorna. You know how Lorna kowtows for her.
Actually, Dame Hilda, it's the Lady Mayoress that Lorna's given those tickets to, isn't it, Dee?
Well, it is, Dee, yes, but I'm not at all sure you should have said so. After all, we overheard that in confidence.
No, we didn't. We overheard it quite openly. Any of those people who were having tea in the Willow Plate tea room could have overheard that, if they bothered to listen.
Well, yes, but they weren't listening, were they? They were far too busy talking very loudly. If you'd not shushed that couple at the next table, we'd not have overheard it.
If you'd lived in Stacton longer, you would realize that at the Willow Plate there are talking tables and listening tables. And there is also one just beside the kitchen door where the waitress will actually serve you.
Well, we'll be off then. Leave that lot with you.
Yes, bye-bye.
I say, Evadne, the Lady Mayoress is a magistrate, isn't she?
Well, yes, of course she is, Hilda.
And it occurs to me that Lorna will be coming up in soon on that driving charge, remember?
Yes.
Going through the red light, backwards, 50 miles an hour.
Well, so what? Well, I suppose her little gift to the Lady Mayoress could be misconstrued.
Pass me a sheet of writing paper, would you, dear?
Very well.
Oh, and a pen, Evadne, please.
Well, there you are, then.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
You'll see. Now, then, how shall I start? Dear Lorna. No. My dear Lorna. No. Now, I might as well go the whole hog. My dearest Lorna.
Hilda, what on earth are you doing?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? I'm writing what I suppose you'd call a blackmail letter.
That was Sweet Charity, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Prowl. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcomed Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guests, Chris Emmett and Francis Jeter, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by Bobby J.